Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, our sermon text is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, words that we've already read. Dear friends in Christ, some of the most commonly found items on archaeological digs that date back even to Bible times and before, are clay jars. Clay jars are so common, in fact, that if people volunteer to work on an archaeological dig, they will sometimes be offered pieces of those clay jars to take home for free. I know this because I had some friends when I was at the seminary who, during the summer, worked on an archaeological dig in Israel, and they showed me some of the clay jar pieces that they were given. And I assume they didn't just stick them in their pockets. They were actually given those to keep. Now, when you think about it, those pieces of clay jars are thousands of years old. And yet the people in the know, the archaeologists who handed them out, we're basically saying, by giving them away freely, that those clay jars, thousands of years old, are still relatively worthless. The treasures, however, that are found in such archaeological digs are found inside the clay jars, whether it be coins or other items of great value. But the jars, the clay jars themselves, are basically worthless. I have an analogy today. I see one baseball card collector for sure who is sitting in the congregation tonight. I don't know how many others of you are familiar with collecting cards. But we have these plastic shields that we get for our baseball cards, especially for an expensive one. Just as an example, I brought a Mickey Mantle card. It happens to be a reprint, so it's no big deal. But these plastic shields are basically worthless. You can get them in bulk for maybe, I don't know, 20 cents a piece. And who cares about the plastic shield? The reason you buy them is so that you can put your baseball cards inside that shield to protect them, so the cards don't get worn, so the cards don't get bent, so the cards don't lose their value. The plastic shields, though, they're basically worthless. It's what's inside of them that is the treasure. Now, the same analogy would go back to the days of the Bible times. The people that might have had so many clay jars inside their homes didn't treasure the clay jars, probably any more than you might treasure a Tupperware container. It's what's inside that you treasure. It's what you put in the clay jars, or what they put in the clay jars, that were of value to those people back then. Jesus once told a parable, you may recall this parable, about a man who was out in a field and he found a treasure hidden in that field. Now, he didn't say if the treasure was inside of a clay jar or not, but for the sake of argument tonight, let's say that this man found this clay jar in the field. He looked inside and there was this treasure, this priceless treasure. And Jesus says the man goes away and sells all that he has, and buys the field. Why? Because he knows the treasure in the field is worth more than everything else that he's got. And so if nobody else knows what that treasure is or where that treasure is found, the man goes out, buys the field, gets the treasure, and becomes rich. Now, when the man gets home, if he found the treasure in a clay jar, do you think he put that clay jar in a valuable place? No, the clay jar probably got tossed aside. The clay jar meant nothing. It was the treasure inside that counted. It wasn't the container, but what it contained that was important. St. Paul uses that analogy in our second lesson tonight, in the epistle lesson, in his second letter to the Corinthians. He speaks of himself and all preachers, and really to all of us as Christians, and tells us we're clay jars. The treasure that we contain And the treasure that we proclaim is not us. It's Jesus Christ. As Paul puts it, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. God wants us preachers, and God wants us Christians to consider ourselves to be clay jars for a reason. First of all, so that we don't come to treasure ourselves so much, that we don't put so much emphasis on us, on ourselves. He's not interested in us treasuring the container that we are, but the message that we contain and the message we proclaim as clay jars. That treasure is Jesus Christ. To use an example from life, imagine getting a priceless gift from a loved one, from your spouse or from your parents or whatever, priceless gift. And it happens to be wrapped up in a really nice box. You're probably not going to throw a priceless gift in any old box, so the box is nice too. But imagine then tossing the priceless gift in the corner and being enamored with the box. I know that can happen because I've seen it happen with kids, and maybe you've seen this too. You buy this great gift, and you give it to your kids for Christmas, or you give it to your kids for their birthday, and they look at the gift, cool, nice, they put it on the side with the other gifts, and then they spend hours upon hours playing in the box. Ever had that happen? Kids just love boxes. But if they love the box at the exclusion of the gift, they've missed the whole point. Well, the same thing can be true of preachers or of pastors. I know this. As one clay jar to another, I've seen this happen. There are times when people perhaps get too focused on the pastor or on the preacher instead of on the message that the pastor or the preacher is there to proclaim. And that's why God reminds us through the words of Paul that our pastors, as well as us as Christians, are intended to be nothing more than clay jars in the grand scheme of things. And that's not to diminish pastors. It's not to diminish Christians. It's not to put anybody down. It's rather to make clear that the real treasure, the important treasure, is the message, not the messengers. I think that's going to be really important for you to remember, for me to remember, in the upcoming months. You know already that next month we are going to start the calling process. We are going to be calling for a new pastor. And there might be some that will say, oh, how can we replace Pastor Smith? Somebody might say, I don't know if I'm going to like the replacement as much as I liked Pastor Smith. And I know people, because we haven't done this in so long, I know people are probably going to wonder, why can't we know more about the new pastor that we are going to be calling before we call him? But you know, ultimately, those questions are all moot. They're dealing with a moot point. Because remember, what is every pastor but a jar of clay? No matter what the pastor's size or shape or age, no matter what his specific talents and abilities might be, the important thing, the treasure, is the message that he is going to proclaim. And we've been told by our synod that all of those who have been trained at the seminary through their years of training in the Wisconsin Synod have been trained to offer the exact same treasure to you and to me, and offer the exact same message to you and to me. And that message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why you're not going to have pastors that are going to be knocking down our doors or keeping our phone lines full, saying, choose me, call me to be the new pastor at Trinity Lutheran in Saline, as if they were competing for this call that we are going to be offering. But God knows who's going to get that call and accept it. God knows already who the next pastor is going to be here at Trinity. He has in mind for us that man. We are taught at the seminary, in fact, the call seeks the man. The man doesn't seek the call. Paul puts it this way. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. In fact, my friends, the better we are, if we think of ourselves less highly and we think of our Lord more highly. And Paul's a great example of that. Paul, the same man that was known as Saul in his earlier days, Saul was a good example of the importance of putting God first, because early in his life, that's not what he did. Saul was a Pharisee. And if you know anything about Pharisees, they were full of themselves, way too full of themselves. And Paul was too. And where did that get him? It got him lying on a road leading to Damascus, a city to which he had traveled in order to arrest and maybe even kill Christians. He was a Christian persecutor until the Lord knocked him off of his high horse, until the Lord actually blinded him for a time, let him be in the darkness to show him something, to show him where he really was at that time in his life. He was in the dark. Saul's soul was dark in those days. But then, quoting Paul's own words, and I'm going to paraphrase them a little bit, applying them directly to Paul instead of to all of us in general. He writes, "The God who said light will shine out of darkness," that God was the same one who made light shine in my heart to give me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. God enlightened Paul. We learn in the Catechism, the Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us, bringing us to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what happened to Paul. Instead of now being so full of Paul was full of Jesus. And everything changed for him after that. So much so that the man who had called himself the worst of sinners was now called by God to be a missionary, an apostle among the Gentiles. His job was to go into all the known world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone who cared to listen. That was Paul's call. And in that sense, nothing's changed in the 2,000 years since Paul carried out his work. Pastors today, pastors and teachers in our Wisconsin Synod are still called by God, even today. I was called by God when you sent me a call back in 1986. Pastor Smith was called by God when you sent him a call in 1992. And this month, we are going to start calling a new pastor who is going to be called by God to become a pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Saline. Now, at that time, he's going to hold two calls. This man is going to have the call that he currently holds to whatever congregation he is serving, and he will have the call that we send him. And he will have to prayerfully consider which of those calls he is going to take. Is he going to stay, or is he going to go? Is he going to stay where he's at, or is he going to come here and be the next pastor at Trinity? We don't know how long it will take for a pastor to accept our call, but when he does, and we get a new pastor for the first time in at least 29 years, that's going to be a little bit of a shock. It's maybe going to be a little scary. It hopefully will be a little bit exciting, but it will definitely be a lot unusual. And yet, when all is said and done, what we're just doing is going from one clay jar to another. The message is going to be the same. Even though it's a different looking clay jar, the message will be the same. The same message that has been proclaimed by 7 other resident pastors at Trinity in Saline over the past 150 plus years. And you know that message is the message of Jesus Christ. Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And I hope that you find that comforting. I do. I think it's a comforting thought for pastors and lay people alike. I think it's going to be a comforting thought for Pastor Smith as the outgoing pastor to know that following him is going to be another man who continues to preach that message of Christ. It's going to be a comforting message for the new pastor because he knows what you will expect him to preach, the message of Jesus Christ. And it's a comforting message for me to be aware of too as the guy in between, because I know that that same message is going to continue to be preached here as well. It makes me think this whole sermon tonight of another verse in Scripture that is closely related to our text. It's found in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. I've thought of this passage so many times in my life. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Or as Paul says, we're just clay jars. That's the message we need to hear. That's the message I have for you tonight, from one clay jar to another. Amen.